All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. Proverbs 28. I'm going to try to deal with three verses this morning. Verses 21, 23. Proverbs 28, 21. To have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Now, two of these verses, the first two, are verses that set forth a thought that we've considered before in the book of Proverbs. And we would do well to consider why the Spirit of God would be pleased to repeat things in these scriptures. Now, you know why. Because we're prone to forget. These three scriptures deal with this one thought. It's the necessity of the faithfulness of the preaching and the hearing of the gospel. Now, here's a truth that we need to remember. Brethren, we need to hear God's word. We need to hear it. We need to hear the truth of man's depravity. We need to be reminded often of God's sovereignty. Sovereignty in creation, sovereignty in providence, sovereignty in salvation. And to compromise the setting forth, the faithfulness of the setting forth of God's truth is dangerous. It's dangerous. It's disobedience. The scripture says in verse 21, something that is not good. To have respect of persons is not good. Now, I'm going to remind us all, we deal with the spirituality of these scriptures. And to have respect of persons, to show favoritism to somebody because of something that we think we might get from them, or how we might benefit from them, to show respect of persons, that's not good. That's not good. We've looked at this before, like I said, in Proverbs 18:5. I'll just read this to you. That first verse says this, to have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. If that man thinks he can get something out of you, and he can sidestep, skirt, show favoritism to somebody because of a benefit that he'll get from them, that's not good. Listen to what Proverbs 18:5 said. It's not good to accept, that is, hold in honor, the person of the wicked, to overthrow or to thrust aside the righteous in judgment, give that which is due or needful for him. Then again in Proverbs 24:23, it says, these things also belong to the wise. It's not good to have respect, or to have regard of persons in judgment. Why? Because the Lord himself is not a respecter of persons. Philippians chapter 3. I want you to hold your place and turn over to Philippians 3. While you're turning there, let me just tell you how often it goes through my mind. I'm not saying that this is praiseworthy. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, this shows you the hardness of a man's old nature, the flesh, the wrestling. How many times have I stood in this pulpit, other pulpits, and preached a passage of Scripture? But how many times when you preach out of different passages of Scripture, the message is always the same? And I've heard people say, make comments, to say, you know, I pretty well know what you're going to say because you say the same thing every time. And after a while, you start thinking about that. And you start kind of wrestling with yourself and say to yourself, well, I know they've heard this before. They've heard this so many times. And then you start kind of struggling about it. That's not good. That's not good. That's not good. Because we have one message. It is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and the redemption, salvation of His people. That is the message of this book. It's the glory of God to show mercy and compassion to needy sinners. Paul the Apostle, Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it's safe. It's safe. Oh, the need that we all have to hear the same message over and over and over again. Back in Proverbs 28, chapter 21, to have respect of persons is not good. You know, if we just think about a natural judge who's presiding over a case in a common court of law, if you saw that judge showing favoritism to somebody just because of something he thought he could get out of that person, wasn't being just. He wasn't going according to the evidence. It would appall you. You think, that's not fair. I mean, we see that. We see that. We see it all the time. We see it in government. And you think, this is horrible. Horrible. But consider the judge of all men. Lord Jesus Christ, who shall preside in the day of judgment. What does He say about Himself? Isaiah 45, 21. It's what He said. There is no God else beside me. A just God, righteous, and a Savior. There's none beside me. The Lord Himself, according to Exodus 34:7, will by no means clear the guilty. Acts 10:34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And consider this fact. The greatest display of God's justice, the greatest display of God's justice, was shown on the day that our Lord laid down His life. Laid down His life for His church, His bride. We just considered that whenever that high priest in the wilderness, when he went in to minister before the Lord, he was not ministering for everybody in this world. He was ministering for the children of Israel. He had a people. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ, on the day of His crucifixion, the Holy Lamb of God, He who obeyed God His Father in word, in thought, in deed, He freely laid down His life. The Scripture declares He was wounded. He never sinned. He never sinned. He never sinned. He told the Pharisees, He said, which of you convinces me of sin? He knew no sin. He knew no sin. But when he laid down his life, the scripture says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace, that which was needful for us to obtain was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. But why was he wounded? He knew no sin. The wages of sin is death. Why was he stricken, smitten of God? Now we need to be honest here. Because he bore our griefs. He said, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. This is needful. This is needful. For whom did Christ die? John 10:15. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's needful to hear. Why? Because to say that he laid down his life for the sins of the whole world is a lie. That's a lie. What you're doing is when you say that, you're saying God's a failure. Because he does not save everybody. You said, well, God's not fair. I'm going to be honest with you. Who art thou, O man, that replies against God? Does the potter have the right over the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? It's not good to have respect of person. He was made sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for us. And where the law found sin, he knew no sin in himself, but he was made sin. Say, well, explain that to me. I can't. I know it's true. I know what the scripture says. And we need to hear it. Why? Because we're going to be at the day of judgment. Wasn't personally guilty, but he bore the griefs and sorrows of his people. Made himself answerable for the sins of his people. God is a just God, and he's not a respecter of persons. You say, but that was his blessed son. I know it was. And where sin was found, God forsook him. God forsaking God. What one of the old writers said, God forsaking God. He hung upon the tree bearing the guilt of his bride, made sin, and God forsook him from the cross. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hundreds of years before that actually took place, the Spirit of God moved upon the psalmist to give the reason that the Father forsook him. Psalm 22:3, but thou art holy. Thou art holy. Proverbs 28:27, to have respect of persons is not good. It's not good. Spirit of God moved James, the Apostle James. I'll just read this to you. You can turn there. I'm going to read James chapter 2. James chapter 2:1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Now, where did that truth come from? Well, Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy 1. Scripture declares, verse 16 to 17. Deuteronomy 1, 16. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren and judge righteously between every man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. You shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's and the cause is too hard for you. Bring it unto me and I will hear it. Now, how needful that we need to be reminded that God is just. Now, when we are told not to have respect to persons, God's teaching us something. He doesn't either. People are leaving this world Gary was just telling me about one of our friends. His dad passed away. And the thing about it is, here's the truth of it. We're dying creatures. We're dying creatures. Everybody in this room is going to die. They're going to die. And we're going to stand before God. And let me express something to you. I want to be truthful with you. God Almighty is not a respecter of persons. Leave this world without the Lord Jesus Christ. Leave this world without having cast yourself upon the mercy of God. Leave this world still looking to yourself and your works and the date you think that you were converted. Leave this world resting in what you've done. Leave this world in thinking that you've done something to satisfy God. Leave this world disrespecting this word right here. And I'm telling you right now, listen to me. I'm going to be honest with you. Almighty God is going to cast you out. And you will be in hell forever. It is not good. It is not good to have respect of persons. Somebody said, well, you're just trying to scare me. No, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to be honest with you. That's what I'm going to be honest with you. I know I'm going to stand there too. Verse 22, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. You know, I said we dealt with this before. You know when we dealt with this? Last Sunday. Look at verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that make haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Two verses later, the Spirit of God moved the writer of Proverbs Solomon to write that down again. He that hasteth. And here's a verse that is a continuation of the warning against showing partiality to someone over respect of what they might be able to gain. He that hasteth to be rich, he that's hurrying his riches by showing partiality, hath an evil eye. I had a friend. He was a friend. We didn't agree, but he was a friend. He stood in a pulpit, in an assembly that I used to attend when I was in Louisiana. Now, you don't know who they are. You don't know who he is. I went to this assembly, and the Lord, in His infinite mercy and grace, was pleased to pluck this brand out of the fire and to reveal to me the fallacy that I was walking in and the error of my ways. It's very humbling when you stood and you made such dogmatic statements and just that and the other, and you realize later by the grace of God. But it's liberating. It's liberating. If you've ever sat in false religion, free will, false religion, and thinking that you've done something for God, and then all of a sudden, well, humanly speaking, whenever the Lord's pleased to reveal Himself to you and show you who you are, who He is, God knows how to bring you down. Believe me. Well, this man that pastoring this church, that I couldn't sit there any longer. I couldn't sit there. And I left, and he made this statement to me. He said, I believe, I wrote this down, make sure I say it right. He said, I believe what you're preaching. I believe what you're preaching. Preaching now. But if I preach that to my congregation, I'd lose my job. That's a quote. That's what he told me. I believe what you're preaching. I know you're preaching that God's sovereign and man's unable and man's totally depraved. And I believe that. I believe that. He said, I truly am. I believe the doctrine of grace. I believe that. But I can't preach that where I am. They run me off. To have respect of persons because you want to keep your job, it's not good. Not be truthful, making merchandise. The Lord said something to Ezekiel. I've read this before, but I was driving back. I went to pick up Glenda a few minutes ago, and I thought about this passage of Scripture about the responsibility to be honest with people. Ezekiel 3, 15 to 18. The Scripture says, "Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Abib that dwelt by the river Kibar. And I sat there where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man," this is Ezekiel, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, or from him his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." I've told you before, I don't know the depth of that scripture right there, but it has a sound to me that moves my heart to want to be honest with you. Somebody say, "Well, this man that didn't want to preach what I was preaching because he's going to be afraid of losing his job." To my knowledge, that man passed away years ago. I'm almost positive somebody told me he died. And the very thought of what he said to me rang to my heart immediately. And I thought, you're going to face God. It's not good. It is not good to have respect of persons. Verse 23, and I'll end right here. "He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue." Too often, humanly speaking, flatterer, the one that does the flattering, finds more favor than the one who rebukes. But spiritually speaking, when the Lord sends a faithful friend with the proclamation of the gospel of God's grace, to a spiritually erring sinner, when God blesses, if God be pleased to bless that word from that faithful friend, though it was a rebuke, it's a rebuke against the flesh, it's a rebuke against somebody's pride, it's a rebuke. But if God's pleased to bless it, do you realize the glory of God that's been shown? And the mercy of God that's been shown to someone, again, that's going to stand before God? I told you this morning I woke up heavy. This right here, this is where the heaviness was, right here. You stand before people that you love. Anytime, some that know God and some that don't. But you love them. And you want to be faithful. And you don't want to be a respecter of persons. You want to be honorable before the Lord. If that message of the gospel is blessed to the salvation of a soul, you thank and praise God. "He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor." When the Lord has called us out of the darkness of sin and unbelief, don't you rejoice that God sent a faithful friend to tell you the truth? Proverbs 29:5 said, "A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet." Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy, they're deceitful." How thankful every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is when he does consider that the Lord caused his path to cross with the truth who he is, who God is. That somebody loved him enough to be faithful, to tell him the truth. I know this is the struggle. I know that man by nature will hear this and he'll say, that's hard. That's hard. That's hard. You know who they said that to? The Lord. He said, no man can come to me. You don't have the ability to come to me, except it were given unto him of my Father. And this is what the people said. That's a hard saying. Say something softer. Flatter me. Come on, flatter me. Show me a little respect. It's not good to show respect to persons. Oh, that God would bless us today and teach us the truth of Himself and the mercy that He shows unto unworthy sinners for Christ's sake and our good.